ourselves. I have Mark 12, verses 41 there. Look there with me as we study this. And I hope you got your Bibles, because we won't be flashing the screen today. You got to look up the scriptures with me. I want you to begin to see. And I have the NIV here that I will be reading on. Now, it's talking about a very poor widow. It says in chapter 12 of Mark, in verse 41, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. A fraction of a penny. He calls his disciples to him. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all these others. They have gave out of their wealth. I want you to focus on they gave out of their wealth. Literally saying that they had more than what they could spare. See, a lot of times when we look at the world and we compare the world with America, and our thinking says that we are poor or middle class. But when you look at 80% of the world, the 80% of the world lives in poverty, folks. 80%. Over in Liberia, the unemployment rate is 80%. 80%. And we when it reaches double figures in this country, 10, boy, everybody's in a panic. I need you to understand that we are in an industrial nation and opportunities lie everywhere in this country. See, the reason why a person won't work is simply because that's not work to work. It's because they literally don't want to work. See, I need you to understand that there are no opportunities there. There are no industries there. And yet, I see where this poor woman is, who's a widow, who's lost her husband, has no income whatsoever. And she's left with a fraction of a coin. A fraction of a cent. But yet, she tosses this into the treasury, and Jesus is absolutely amazed. Whoa! Disciples, come here. I want to share something with you. I don't want you to miss this, is what he's telling the brethren. I don't want you to miss. Look at him. He says there, verse 44, they all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. Whoa. Put in everything, all she had to live. Oh, livelihood. And see, this woman went beyond the call of duty. This woman did not only throw in what she had, but her whole life went into this. See, I want you to understand that when we give, giving is about putting your life into it. It's not about holding back. You know, I got this, I got that. Yes, we got money, but it's not until we give our lives to the Lord. Not until then that Jesus can truly recognize our gift. I need you to understand this. That a lot of people are willing to give up their substance, that which they can afford to give. But when it comes down to their life, The Bible teaches us that we should love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is asking you and I to love him with our entire being. Let's prove the point. Let's go to Romans chapter 12 right quick. Look at Romans 12 with me. He says, verse number 9. He says here, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to that which is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Oh, what you're saying, Paul? I have a responsibility as a child of God to devote myself to my brothers and sisters. Wait, when I give myself to you, I'm being benevolent. When I open up and allow you to know who I am, and you open up and allow me to know who you are, we are being benevolent towards one another. See, benevolence simply means generosity to others. I need to be generous towards you. When I see you, I don't need to give you a frown. I need to give you a smile. I have a reason to rejoice when I see my brothers and sisters, because it's all about me loving you and you loving me. See, that's what the church is all about. That's the reason why Jesus brought us into one body. That we can love and truly know benevolence. Watch what he says there. But if there's transgressions, well, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Let me go back over. Verse number 12 in verse chapter 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with God's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Man, that's opening up your house. Watch what he says. Bless those who persecute you. Oh, now, come on, Brother John. Come on. Wait, now, you expect me to provide blessings for those who are persecuting me? Even in the midst of persecution, God wants you to be benevolent. That's the reason why he teaches us. If a man asks you for your coat, you give him the cloak. Come on. Man, if he asks you to go a mile, you go with him another mile or two. Don't you stop at that point. You go the extra in order to give to others. Because God wants his people to be benevolent. Look at it. Look at it, brothers and sisters, as we continue to build on this. He says in verse 5, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. You hurt, I hurt. Yes, let me be the kind of person that opens himself up to those who have lost loved ones. Let me be the kind of person who goes and visit the sick who lie on their sick beds. Let me be the kind of person that is always looking for the opportunity to serve somebody. I need you to understand that. That's being benevolent. Oh, Y'all don't believe that? Let's go a little bit further. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Look at Paul's situation. Now, I want you to understand, the first two scriptures, the woman gave her money. We saw what we should give to one another. Paul talks about how he rejoices over the brethren that were concerned about him. He says in verse number 10 in chapter 4, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Whoa. See, what are you saying? I have been disconnected from these people. They did not have an opportunity to help me or to serve me or to show their love and generosity towards me. But now here comes my child in the gospel. And man, he lets me know how concerned you are about me. Somebody told me long ago, action speaks a lot louder than words. You see, we want to tell people we are concerned, but yet putting forth that effort to show it is another ball game for most folk. I'm here to tell you, Paul appreciated the concern that the brethren had for him. Brothers and sisters, that's being benevolent. Watch what he says here. Watch what he says. I'm not saying this because I am in need. Why are you saying it then, brother? Why are you saying it? He goes on to confirm. He says, I know how to live without, and I know how to live with plenty. But yet, I'm more concerned about your concern for me. It's not about my need. It is about your care for me. You're showing benevolence. And I don't mind the gift you send to me. I mean, he's not denying or rejecting the money that came his way. No, he's not that. But yet, I think here in the text, he is more focused on how those people feel about him. Their generosity towards them. Our brothers and sisters, your generosity. See, there's nothing like a church family that loves every member of the church family. Nothing like it. If we all cared with the same care, we would be the strongest congregation in North Alabama. We have to learn to be more generous towards those. Why do you think the scriptures teach us in Galatians, around chapter 6, somewhere up in there, do good to all men? Huh? And be benevolent towards all men. But then he solidifies it by saying, especially to those of the household of faith. Oh, Lord, let us be generous towards one another. Let us go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Come on, we're going to get you through this. Y'all bear with me. Look about verse number 11 and 12. Now, Paul encourages these brethren who have committed to being benevolent towards others. And one thing that I tend for us to forget about that, you know, the Bible was not divided into books and chapters until centuries later. It read like one continuous letter Now watch what he says in verse 9. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your compulsion. Come on. Completion of it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does have. Now, there was that he does not have. And see, these people that I went to see over in Liberia, let's go back to the slide. Let's see some things here. Bobby, if we can get back to slide three. See, you see these brethren here. There's a story that goes along with this picture. We arrived at the airport in Liberia about 5 p.m. that evening, their time. And we got in the car. The brethren were there waiting on us with joy. And we were happy because you don't want to be in a foreign country unless you know somebody there waiting for you. And they were there. We gathered our stuff and we got in the car and our brethren, and we started traveling. And I know Monroeville is about 45 minutes away from the airport. And all of a sudden, an hour went by, and I said, brethren, how long before we get there? And you know, you heard of a country mile. Right? Y'all heard of a country mile. Well, the Liberians operate on country time. He said, about an hour. 3 hours later, it's jet dark. The streets are full of holes. And 3 hours later, it took us 4 hours to get to our destination where these brethren were. But let me tell you how generous they were. They were talking on their phones, and we're just about there. And just about there. And all of a sudden, you know, Siegfried and I have wakened enough to, you know, because we were tired. We like 2 days of traveling through the air, over 6,000 miles, stopping at one airport out of another into another airport. And we heard these voices. And they were singing. What? And as we got closer, the voices got clearer, and we looked up and barely could see the silhouette of these men, and they standing on both sides of the street, 30. Well, I might exaggerate that a little bit, but it was a lot of God. And they were singing and praising God for our safe arrival. Don't you think that made us feel good? Here we were exhausted from flying, but yet here are these men on both sides of the road, both sides of the road, pitch dark, singing praises to God. Wow. Some of y'all remember that song, Come By Here, My Lord? Come By Here. Oh, man. Aren't we glad to be here? When they lined up on the side of the car, and as the car was going down the road, there they were, right beside us. We felt like dignitaries, Brother John. Whoa, it's 9:30 at night, and they have left their families to come and to welcome us. Oh, what more can I say? And then once we got into the home, the guest house they call it, they packed into the house. and stood outside our rooms, and they sung until we came out. Oh, what generosity. What a welcome of fellowship. What? Man, we were energized. It was like we had just walked down the street and met some brethren and we started fellowshipping. We woke slap up. The gospel started being preached. We started sharing with one another. The wives came. While all these men were in the home with us and they stood out and they looked as we were praising God in the middle of the night. And I preached until midnight. I can literally say I preached until midnight. Man, I could not leave those brethren without a word from God. I could not leave them, man, how energized and how, what love they showed us when they could have been at home sleep with their families. They had themselves and their wives and food lined up for our welcome. And I'm telling you, it was an experience that I never experienced before. And I've been over to the country a couple of times. Next slide, brother. You know, waking up to civil war in 2001 through 2007, these people were impoverished. Their lives have been, man, they've been in that village we were in. They took and lined up all the men during this period of civil war and gunned them down right there in front of their wives and children. Just slaughtered them. Over 100 men in this village. And yet the children grew up. And they are welcoming us who traveled to their village after this time. Oh, what generosity. What love being shown and shared. It was beyond anything that I've ever experienced in my entire life. And I've been to a lot of places and done a lot of good things and been around a lot of good people. But this was beyond measure, church. Beyond measure. Next slide. Misery shouldn't be an everyday part of our lives. This is what these people live in. This is how they live. And we sit up and we cry because we ain't got what we want to eat. We ain't driving a car we want to drive, or a house, or living in the Come on, we cry and bicker about so many things that makes life miserable for us, but yet these people have to live in conditions that are unsanitary. And yet, their hearts were full of joy. Next slide. Whoa. Profound poverty and disease. But hope. Hope is alive and well in their lives. Ebola can't stop hope. Do y'all hear me? Stricken by disease, people dying, no cure, but yet their hope, their joy in the Lord was profound. Oh, brothers, they showed us that. They showed us that. You know, these people are fortunate if they make $5 a week. One young lady I met walks around and walks for miles with a basket of things on her head. And just hoping and praying that she might sell a cookie or two, a cracker, a candy bar. Hey, $5 a week. Their dollar equals to 10 cents in our currency. Wow. And yet, they are reaching out, giving themselves totally to two missionaries that came to their country to preach the gospel. Next slide. Survival is the mindset. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Next slide. We're going to run through this. Yet even in the midst of this, Christ still rules. Even in the midst of all their poverty and disease, they praise God. Welcome to the churches of Christ, Church of Christ Fellowship. Church of Christ greets you, Sim Darby Plantation, Balm and Grand King Mountains. This is where they worship. Next slide. Come on, we're going to run through this. Sister preparing food for the fellowship meal. How many of y'all going to cook out there? See, let me tell you something, folks, that I've learned, and I'm learning from this. What you don't have, you don't worry about. And what you do have, you're willing to share it generously. Huh? Man, you're willing to give it. And they sit out there, and I couldn't believe, I walked up there, whoa. You know, and I know some of us, I ain't going to, huh? No, next slide. Come on. A meal blessed by God from a poor man's table. Greens with a little chicken in it, and rice. Rice is the staple of their diet. They eat rice every day with some sort of pea soup or fish soup or something of that nature to cover the top of it. Every day, the same old thing. And yet, they're willing to give. Next slide. Come on. A cup of water in my name. That has more reference to it than just giving a cup of water. See, I want you to know this is my cup that I drank my first cup of coffee out of. You know, I'm a coffee drinker, and I asked them, hey, give me some, I need some coffee. They were willing to run to the market, which was way out the way, to get me a cup of coffee. Whoa. Whoa. A cup of water in the name of Jesus. An act of compassion. Let's give. Let's be generous towards my brothers and sisters. Next slide. Come on. We're going to run through this. Rain, poverty will not dampen. Next slide. The spirit of their faith and our joy in the Lord. We cannot allow this attitude of despair, discouragement. We cannot allow that to dampen our joy in the Lord, for there are people over there who have a reason to be miserable. And yet they are rejoicing because we were there. Next slide. I want you to see. Here they are standing, waiting for us. Brother sharing. Next slide. Oh, we're going to run through it. Oh, the journey to church. How many of y'all drove today? Man, I don't even have a car to drive. I had to use the church to get to church this morning. We got up. It was a hike to worship. Now, we're going down this path. Next slide. Oh, the crossing. Lord have mercy. Can you all believe I had to cross that. Turn the next slide. Right, watch this. You see the bread? Now, see, I've already gone across because the brethren, you know, Ziggy, they were kind of, man, let me. Hey, it was a walk of faith. One thing I knew, bamboo was strong. I knew bamboo is very strong. And here I am, and they gave me a stick to kind of balance myself. And Ziggy had a video of it because he was sure I was going to fall. And so I can see myself in a bit of a, you know how you take those careful steps, and I'm wobbling. Okay, shooting from the back, all I could see was this back end just wobbling across this, you know. Hey, but yet it was a walk of faith. And these people have to travel here every day. Rain, I don't care how hard it's raining, they're coming to worship. Next slide. Oh, what, man, come on. Now, do I look like a person that walks every day? We already done walked a mile, and I got a half a mile ago, and look at it, he pointing uphill. Come on, next slide. Glory to God. The building. Oh, Lord, the building. Now, nothing fancy. Dirt. Brick. Blocks. Tin roof. Next slide. But boy, when they got in there, you know, I chose 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 3. For to their power I can bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They were willing. Next slide. Oh boy, here a group of people. I'm sorry about the headshot. But I wanted to tell you that we had over 13 people respond after the preaching of the gospel. 13 people respond. Next slide. And boy, look what we had. Another half a mile to the river. And guess what I'm thinking when I'm approaching this river? Bull shark. Because I know they can survive in fresh water. I'm thinking, whoa. And then they would not even allow us to go down there because it had just finished raining and they didn't want us, for safety reasons, they did not want us and would not allow us to even go down there close. One of the brothers came up and said, James, take my phone. I'll take the pictures for you. And they went down to the river. Next slide. And there the baptism started, my brothers and sisters. Now, this is about the end of this, and I'm going to sit down. I had to choose from almost 300 shots what I was going to present to you today. This is what I want you to understand here right now, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I need for you to understand that they are teaching and practicing the same things we are practicing here. They're over 6,000 miles away. And I'm telling you, a cappella singing, Lord's Supper, fellowship, one with another, and water baptisms. Next slide. Is that as these people go down into the watery grave of baptism, they come up a new creature. See, I want you to understand this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we sat there, these young men and women, they believed, they acted upon. See, you just can't sit there and not do anything when the gospel is being shared. See, we need to act up on the gospel. We need to be generous people to show people, to lead people that hey, you have to believe the word of God. You can't twist it towards your ideology and what you think about things. We need to practice the same thing in the body of Christ. believe the same thing. Let me remind you all. Believe what you know and know what you believe. We have to believe. We have to know God's will, God's word, and we have to act up on that word. That's what it's all about, my brothers and sisters. These people were acting up on the word of God. We need to repent of some things. I know how tough life is. I know how we get addicted to different things. Habits and bad habits are hard to break. You know, I know that we gravitate towards a sinful nature, and that sinful nature hinders us, keeps us from filling the will of God. You know, that incorrect thinking. You know, are we the only one right? Read your Bible and find out. Read your Bible and find out. Question what I'm saying to you today. If they're practicing it over there in the Lord's church, we need to be practicing the same thing. And wherever we go, we need to meet brothers and sisters that are practicing what the Bible teaches. Now I don't want anything else but the Bible. So many people are practicing what they believe, but God has only one belief. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. That's what the Bible says. And if you want to question me afterwards, I'll be glad to show it to you. God has always been a one-way God. That's the reason why the scriptures teach us at Matthew chapter 7 that the way is straight and narrow. God doesn't leave any room for navigation anywhere else. Doesn't leave any room. It's straight and narrow, huh? How difficult is that to understand and to comprehend? God wants you to follow that one way, for it is the only way to salvation. But that old broad way, the way where you can go over here or go over there or make whatever decisions you want to make, God leaves that out. You don't make no decisions for God. Our hearts, our minds are truly deceptive. Deceitful, I'm sorry. Deceptive. It'll lead us astray. But yet, I mean to tell you, if we walk God's way, we'll be in fellowship with one another, and we have no reason to be not generous, not loving, not kind to each other. Oh, boy. Believe, repent, confess. Oh, let me tell you, church, if Christ is not your Lord, then you are not a part of His. And if you're not confessing Him according to the way you walk, because I want you to understand, you who are looking at this, grasping it, confession is just not making a statement, professing. Confession is a walk of life. It's the way you walk now. You have made Christ your King, and He directs your path. He teaches you how to navigate through the obstacles that you're going to find on your straight and narrow path. He's the one that's leading your life now. See, people got to understand that if you make Christ your King by confessing Him, it is a walk of life. And let me assure you, it's not an easy walk. Been walking it 30 years. And I'm still fighting. You ask any of these members in the church, I'm still fighting. I'm fighting to save my soul from the wickedness of this society we live in. Yes. But this is the hope I have. This is the hope. See, I know nothing can damper that hope. Nothing can undermine that hope. Nothing can give me more assurance than the hope I have in Jesus. And the Bible teaches me how to get in Him. And so many of you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Man, that's pretty straight and narrow. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. If you don't act upon it, Romans 6:4 tells me I have a new life in Christ. This is my hope. Peter, John tells me in 1 John 1, around verse 9, if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin because the blood of Christ is cleansing me constantly. That's my hope. That's my hope. And those brothers over there practice the same thing. The question I raised this morning to you, what is your hope? I'm assured if I keep the promises of Christ that heaven will be my home. That's what we assured and encouraged these brothers to continue to do as they help us by showing us great love and we help them. Well, there won't be any imbalance. You know, they have something to share with you. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. Christians, those who've been a Christian, and you know, I know how life is. I know how the world is. Man, I see it on the news every day. I see our young people going astray. I see parents worried about things they can't do nothing about. I see so many young men in jail. Confused and lost, hurting, crying for mama. Oh, yes, I had one come in the other day, 26 years old, sat down in the seat and sat there and didn't want to see nobody but me because he wanted to sit there and just cry. Just cry. Oh, what have I gotten myself into? I'm telling you, I told him the only hope for him is Christ Jesus. The only hope for us here today is Christ Jesus. And if we refuse to and reject him and his way, then that's your ball you got to play with. I try to always explain to them, life is like a game. You determine how you play it. You know, you determine where you're going to walk and what you're going to live for. Now, if you think some of that foolishness out there going to get you anywhere, you just keep practicing that foolishness and see how far you fall. But you who are faithful, who understand that Christ's way is the only way that's going to get us to eternal glory, that we can be sitting in the presence of Almighty God, that's the only hope we have in this world. I'm encouraging you, if you need to respond to God, if you need to respond to God, the time is now. If you need study, just ask. Just ask. We got many brethren around here that will be glad to sit down and talk to you about Christ. Be like the Liberians, those who were in San Darby. When the gospel call came ringing across their ears, they responded. I'm encouraging you, as we stand and sing the invitation song, to come, my brother. Have you heard the words of the stone?